The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, co-host, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. We have with us attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner and operator of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. Thanks so much for being here the third week in a row.
Thanks for having me again.
And you were here a little before that, like maybe a month or two before that. So you're like a regular guest now.
I am. All thanks. Right.
Maybe we have a co-host opportunity for you in the future. You better behave there, Pat.
She refers to me as a current co-host.
We talk about issues and topics that matter to home owners, buyers, and sellers every week, Saturdays at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We have a full-time real estate office with many exceptional realtors who've been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and get a live view of Dunmore Corners 24/7. We get thousands and thousands of hits a month on that camera from all over the world.
Yes, very nice view of the corners. And look us up on social media. We have a lot of great content there. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, where we also have all the podcast apps that we feature this radio show on. Okay, attorney Michelle O'Brien, a little bit about you, how long you've been practicing law, what you do, what's your specialty, please, and where are you located?
Absolutely. So I have been practicing real estate and corporate law for over 20 years in Pennsylvania for about the last 16. And actually, no, I've had my firm for 16 years, but I've been in Pennsylvania for over 20 years now. So a long time. And I also practice in the areas of oil and gas and commercial lending law. We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor, and I do own the O'Brien Law Group, and we recently opened a title company called Pinnacle Abstract.
Great. A lot of good stuff there. So today I'd like to talk to you about real estate and divorce. Buying a home is really stressful. It's stressful enough. But buying a home from a couple in the middle of a divorce can be an emotional roller coaster of a much different type and kind.
Selling a house when you're getting a divorce is also stressful.
Sure. And we've had a lot of this. We have good practice in this department on both sides, you know, so where you're selling a home and you have a buyer client and the couple selling is getting a divorce, or where we're listing and we have that. So let's talk about that. First, let's talk about the property in the Pennsylvania and what it means when somebody owns a home. Maybe the husband purchased the home before he got married. The wife's name is not on a deed. We'll go into that and what PA law is, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely. So we'll start with the easy one.
Okay.
If you acquire a property during marriage, then it's considered marital property. So the husband and wife both own it, even if only one of them is on the deed. So that means that when they sell the property, whether it's through divorce or otherwise, then the spouse, whoever, rather they're on the deed or not, does need to sign the deed to sell the property. So that's, it is actually a very similar story, even if the husband or the wife owns a piece of property before they get married. Generally, it is best practice when you go to sell the property, even if it was before marriage or if it was an inherited piece of property, that the spouse also sign the deed, just to make sure that all potential
claims.
All potential claims are cleared at title. Make sure everybody signs the deed. This is regardless of if there's a divorce or not. This is in all situations.
Sure. So even if their name's not on it, they should sign it.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
They can, if they don't want to sign the deed, a lot of times a title company will allow them to sign what's called a spousal waiver, which is a document that just says that the spouse is waiving all of their interest in their marital interest in the property.
You know, you throw in some emotions and some money, and I think this could get really complicated.
Absolutely.
Well, that's we've always done that, but it's quite interesting that a lot of people don't know this.
Absolutely.
You know, like sellers that are going, well, it's just me on the deed.
Right.
My spouse doesn't have to sign. And it's, you know, we have them sign the listing contract, the seller's disclosure, and all the documents pertaining to the sale. And then we advise them they should be at closing. And you're right. The title company usually says you have to come.
Yeah. I'm actually doing one this afternoon. Right when I leave here, that's what we're doing. I'm signing with the seller, and his wife isn't on the deed. It was an investment property. The husband was the one fixing it up. But we still need her to sign the deed, and she is, and she's not causing a problem, but we do need her to sign in order to disclaim her any marital interest she might have in the property.
Wow, you even work on weekends.
So
sometimes.
We have to do what we have to do.
That's right. That's
People's
right.
schedule usually allows that. So I was thinking about some time. I've been at several closings earlier in my career where someone forgot to mention to the spouse whose name is not on the deed. It's usually, you know, I've been with the buyer on the buyer's side, but the agent for the seller forgot to mention. And you're sitting at the closing table and you're scrambling trying to get that person to the closing table. They're at work, they're unreachable.
Yes.
And it could put the brakes on things.
Absolutely. We had one situation where we always, at the beginning of a transaction, we send out like a little questionnaire. And one of the questions is, are you married? Are you single? Are you separated? Divorced? Like, just so we know what we're dealing with and if we have to get a spouse involved, or what kind of ownership it is. Are you owning it with your brother? Whatever it is. And he had checked single, and the previous deed had said he was single, and he showed up to closing, and we had prepared all the documents as if he was single. And I went through at a closing, you have to sign. If the buyer's getting title insurance, they sign an affidavit, the seller and the buyer. But in this case, the seller was signing an affidavit. So I was going through it point by point. And one of the points is you have to say if you're married or if you're single. And I said, okay, you told us you're single. I'm just confirming, are you married or are you saying, oh, well, actually I am married, but we've been separated for more than 10 years. So it's not a big deal. And I was like, oh no, it is a big deal for us. So we had to go through the whole thing. And like you said, we have to delay the closing because we really do have to have her signature.
Yeah. It wasn't a dating site that he was checking the single box or Facebook, right?
Exactly.
It was a really big deal.
Now, luckily, he did disclose it to us, so we were able to fix the situation, but
yeah,
it was a rough twist
you weren't expecting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do tend to pop.
There's a reason we ask. It's not because we're trying to be nosy or snoop into your business or steal your identity. You know, there really is a legal reason that we're asking those questions.
So Pennsylvania is an equitable distribution state, and so everything's divided fairly.
In divorce, if the court has to decide, the court will if a husband and wife can't agree. So a lot of times, most divorces, I believe, and I don't know the statistics on this, but most divorces, the husband and wife, through their attorneys or otherwise, can come to an agreement on, we have two houses, you keep this one, I'll keep this one, or I don't want to live in this house, I want to move, so you buy me out of this house. So a lot of times, husband and wife can just agree, here's what we're going to do with all of our assets, and then the attorney writes it up into a divorce settlement agreement, and then you present it to the court, and the court says, does everybody agree with this? And everybody moves forward, and that's how we distribute the, you know, that's how the property can get distributed. If the husband and wife cannot agree in a divorce situation, then it does go to court. And technically, Pennsylvania is an equitable distribution state, and the court will do the best job they can to equitably divide the properties.
Yeah, we've come across some very interesting scenarios where this is concerned. And so sometimes, you know, and I did have the only, and I don't walk away from things, and I'm not a quitter. I never was. And people have often said to me over the course of my career, you know, that they saw that as a weakness, that I had to learn how to walk away. But I will tell you, one time I did walk away from a divorce situation on a listing. I was the listing agent. Spouse stayed in the house, and the other spouse moved to another state. The spouse that was in another state found a new partner in life and was paying all the bills on the house. And the person that was in the house made it impossible. It was an impossible, didn't want to tell us where the septic was.
Yeah.
Didn't know, didn't care, and we have to know for inspections. Didn't want us to come in, didn't want a lockbox.
Yep.
If a light was left on, we found out about it, and it was, and no drive-bys, and and would call and say there was a car that drove by my house. It was excruciating. I can't tell you. So finally, after 8-9 months, and I had to go to a court hearing.
Yeah.
I had to, as part of this listing, and I had to tell the judge what was happening.
Right.
And it was so much pressure, so much stress, mm-hmm. that I finally said, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And you can get, I mean, a court will, on occasion, it's obviously an extreme situation like that one, but a court can order the house to be sold. And we did have one situation. It was probably 10 years ago at this point, but I did have one situation where the husband refused to sign the documents and the court ordered the prothonotary at the courthouse to sign the deed on their behalf, on his behalf. And we kept the money in escrow for whatever the prescribed amount of time is, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is. And eventually it was like $100,000. We actually had to turn it over to the state's unclaimed property fund because he would not take his money. And I had to contact him. I think I contacted him like twice a year, every year. And I said, I have $100,000 sitting here for you. And he said, I did not authorize the sale of that house. I am not taking that money. And it's went, I don't know what happened to it after it went to the state, but it's unclaimed property that he is fully entitled to, but he never signed the deed, but the court ordered the prothonotary to sign and they did.
But in his mind, he was right.
He was right.
He was right.
Yes, he stood on principle.
He stood on principle. It cost him $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had another situation that was quite catastrophic, and for the lack of a better word, where we had to have two different agents, one assigned to the one spouse and the other assigned to the other spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the attorneys and the one spouse was still staying in the property, whereas in the similar situation as the one I just talked about, where the other spouse moved on to a different area with a different partner. And the one that was living in the house made showings impossible. And but this was a different situation where they had to sell it. But there was this whole list of things that we had to abide by. And the sales price could only be a certain percentage. And there's something that it's called in the legal world, and it's not coming to mind. But boy, was that excruciating.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing to keep in mind is that if you're buying a house from a divorcing couple, the negotiations might be longer and the closing might get delayed a little bit. You may have a little more back and forth and a little more changing people's minds because of the back and forth between the spouses. That is something to absolutely be prepared for. The other thing is that does come up a lot of times is even after a divorce is finalized, the husband and wife want to go sell the house now. Maybe there was a full divorce decree and it said the wife gets the house and she's been living there for 5 years after the divorce settlement. And she says, oh no, I own the house. It's fully in my name. Here's my divorce decree. The problem with that is there really does actually have to be a deed. In addition to the divorce decree, there has to be a deed that's recorded in the land records that transferred the house from the husband and wife to just the wife. And you can't just, she would have to go back to that ex-spouse at that point, and we would need him to sign the deed in order to transfer it over to her.
Right. And the one that was screaming that they needed this sold because they were paying the expenses on the property mm-hmm. was the one that would hold up the signing.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We couldn't for the life of us figure it out.
A buyer and the buyer's lender, that's very frustrating.
And the buyer's agent was not from our company. Mm-hmm. And in this market, and this was like, over the last couple of years. And in this market, everything was going so quickly. They thought foul play was occurring in our office because of the length of time it took.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very interesting.
Yeah. A lot of times you have to get the divorce attorneys involved in the transaction as well, which is just the more people that get involved, the more complicated everything gets. The other thing I did want to mention is that it is one thing that a title company is going to look for, but in certain situations, there could be liens on a home for child support or alimony. And those would be related to a divorce situation. Of course, that wouldn't be prior to the divorce, but generally after divorce, if they are going to sell a house after divorce, that is something that needs to be checked because all the child support and alimony liens will have to be paid in order to get that house sold.
Right. And that comes up on the title search.
Absolutely.
Right. So when the buyer's attorney title company does the title search, that comes up. Mm-hmm. But how many conversations did you have that people didn't realize?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one reason why, you know, no one likes to give their Social Security number out, but that is why we need the Social Security number, because that's where those liens are, or that's how those liens are booked with the state, is through Social Security number. So we have to have that in order to look up those liens.
So a listing agent that is listing a property of a divorced couple must represent both sellers impartially.
Yeah. If you're representing both parties, which, you know, can't, like you said, in that one situation where you had to assign two different agents.
Yeah, because they didn't trust.
Yeah. And if both the husband and the wife agree, they can have one person representing
them
both.
And that's usually the way it goes.
It is.
They both have to agree.
Absolutely.
So usually they're given a list of names by their attorney, their attorneys of agents in that area. And they can both choose from that list. And the one name that stands out is the one that they both choose.
Sure. I mean, however they're going to choose. Maybe it's a friend of theirs. But very often, if it's a contentious divorce, very often the husband or the wife, whichever one, thinks that the realtor's siding with the other
exactly.
one. Exactly. It doesn't always happen. A lot of times they each have their own individual relationship, or maybe they're getting along and it's okay. And of course, the deals where everybody's getting along are not the ones we're really talking about.
Right?
No.
It's when it's a contentious divorce that there's a problem.
There's not a good story going along with the easy ones. No.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the other thing is, if the husband and wife are going to agree to sell the house, which very often they do agree to sell the house, the closings that we've had, very often the husband and wife don't split the proceeds equally. It's not always a 50-50 split on the proceeds of the house. So sometimes that can get contentious. How much is so-and-so getting? How much is so-and-so getting? If you're living in the house, so you have to pay the prorations for the propane or whatever it is. You know, there's a lot of negotiations about how those funds are going to be split. And that really doesn't have anything to do with the buyer, but it does.
Or the realtor.
Or the realtor.
It does delay closing. Yeah. Oh, sure it does.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How would one get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901, or you can visit our websites at www.obrienlawpa.com or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thank you. Pat?
We have two separate homes on one lot at 2613 Jackson Street in Scranton for $399,000. These homes have not been rented out. They've been used by one family, and they are on a 50 by 175 lot. This would be perfect for the investor or as a home with an in-law suite. The front home is a split-level three-bedroom, two-bath. It's got hardwood floors, swirled ceilings, and plenty of charm. The rear house is a three-bedroom raised ranch with a huge three-car garage and street access. That's two homes on one lot at 2613 Jackson Street in Scranton for $399,000, and that's listed by Aaron Pierce of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Buyer demand for homes for sale searches has hit a multi-year high and is still growing. This indicates a ripe opportunity for sellers to enter the market confidently. Most of our listings year-to-date at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate have gone under contract, sale pending, within days, weeks.
What a change from just a few days from before COVID, right?
Many with multiple offers. That's still happening in our area. And this is from Keeping Current Matters. That's information that I pulled off one of our websites yesterday. Stick around for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM. We will resume right after a short break.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. Call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Back in action here on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
With attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. So regarding divorce situations, there's one last point we want to ask.
All right. We were talking about adding names to deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say I wanted to add my son his name to my deed. What's the pitfalls of that?
Right. So many people call me about this, and it's not even related to a divorce situation, but it could be related in the future to a divorce situation. So, or at least a consideration of a divorce situation. So a lot of people, as they get older, they, as part of their estate planning, one of their ideas, or they've heard that it's a good idea to add your child to the deed to your house, for example, so that when you pass, it passes directly to them without a lot of probate involvement. First of all, you need to make sure the deed's drafted really carefully, because the way that it is titled, we have really kind of old legal language that goes in there, tenants by the entirety or joint tenants with right of survivorship. There's some interesting language that we use, but you want to make sure that it is all titled the right way, which is why you want to get a lawyer involved in that. But you will still on a say your son, for example, if he ever goes to sell that property when he's the surviving owner of the house, he will still have to show the title company, and the title company will have to make sure that all the estate taxes were already paid and all of that stuff was cleaned up. So all of that stuff still remains. But I think your question to me at the break was, what happens if he now is on the deed to the property, but he gets married and then he potentially gets divorced? What happens? Is that ex-spouse or his wife entitled to any of our house, any of our property? Could she potentially get the property from us? And I think the answer is very, it depends. It's very similar to what we were talking about. If they agree that that's what's going to happen, is that she's going to get the property in the divorce, then she may eventually, beyond the grave, despite anything you can do about it, if that's what they have agreed to, then that might happen. Technically, like we were saying before, he will have owned it prior to his marriage because he's not married yet. Mm-hmm. But what if we transferred a property to someone who was married, but it's in their sole name? You know, we have all of those issues. There's tons and tons of scenarios, and they're all a case-by-case basis, you know, a case-by-case matter. So we really do have to look at every single situation independently. But in that situation where your son is currently single, he owns it before marriage, just in his own name. If he goes to sell it, the title company is going to require her signature to or at least a spousal waiver to disclaim her marital interest in the property. But technically, by law, it should be his property outside of the marriage because he owned it prior to marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about inherited properties and sales involving estates.
So when you have an estate selling a property, John Doe dies and he owned a house. Now the estate needs to sell off all the assets or transfer the assets out. Maybe they're not selling him. Maybe in the will, we have an interesting one right now. In usually in your will, you leave your, we see people leaving their property to family members. And so it transfers pursuant to that person's wishes and everything can get transferred, but out of the estate. And we'll talk about what is required to make sure that that can happen. But in this one situation we're handling right now, the person had two houses, one that she lived in and the one next door, which they rented out. And they've had a long-term tenant living there for like 20 or 30 years. And in the will, she granted the tenant the right of first offer, which is a little different than a right of first refusal. But they offered her the option to buy the house that she's living in, and that's what she's doing. And it's kind of a nice situation to be able to see that she, you know, the woman who passed away thought so far ahead that she was going to allow the tenant to buy the property. And she is, and everyone I think is happy with that situation. The one thing I do want to say is you do have to get, a lot of people call me and they say, oh, my mom died. Her only asset is her house. So we're just going to distribute it to the kids. Can you handle that? And I say, well, has an executor been appointed? Like, has anybody been down to the Register of Wills office? Have you filed any paperwork? No, no. This is her only asset. So it's no big deal.
Right.
Well, it is a big deal.
It is. Huge deal.
Yeah. You have to go down to the Register of Wills office. People have done it without an attorney, but very often you need an attorney to do it.
Not recommended.
Yeah, not recommended to do it yourself. However, I've had people that do it. I don't do that kind of work, so I don't get involved in it. But you need an executor or an administrator or a trustee, someone appointed by the Register of Wills office in order to administer the estate and make sure everything gets distributed like it needs to be. So in some of these situations, you will need court approval in order to transfer a property out of an estate, especially if some of the beneficiaries of that estate are challenging who the estate wants to sell the property to. Maybe the estate wants to sell it or give it to the daughter, but now the son is disputing the daughter's right to the property and he thinks he should get it or he thinks they should sell it and split the money. There's all sorts of things like that. You have a lot of issues with heirs while you're trying to administer the estate. Those family disputes very often do have to go to court, and a court has to say what the estate can do.
Often we see that the will says split it equally, but no one's agreeing on the math. So that happens all the time. Attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 570-209-7901. And our websites are www.obrienlawpa.com or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Remember to catch us again next weekend, same time, Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 The Talker.